With the Saturday Morning Scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK. Three more state high school football champions were crowned yesterday at the Dakota Dome in Vermilion. All three games were decided by a touchdown or less. First game of the day was the game we had on the air yesterday morning through early afternoon. 9A championship, Howard and Woolsey Wessington. Woolsey Wessington only led once. That was on their opening possession of the game when they went up 6-0. After that, Howard had a one or two touchdown lead. Woolsey Wessington kept coming but couldn't get the final stop they needed. Howard wins the championship and caps off an undefeated season with a 38-30 win over the Warbirds. For Woolsey Wessington, Peyton Rainford had two touchdowns rushing. Caleb Richman had a 92-yard touchdown run, which tied the 9A championship record for longest rush with Travis Mercer of Sully Buttes back in 1989. Caleb Richman also threw a 15-yard touchdown pass to Moshe Richman. Caleb was 19 of 27 passing for 211 yards, carried the ball 14 times for 129 yards. Moshe Richman had 12 catches for 141 yards, also had 17 tackles on defense. Rainford added 12 tackles on defense. Woolsey Wessington finishes their season at 11-2. Howard finishes a perfect 12-0. The second game of the day, Winner outlasted Sioux Valley 20-14. Winner had a huge time of possession advantage in the game, but it was tied late in the third quarter. Winner scored the go-ahead TD early fourth quarter after Sioux Valley fumbled deep in their own territory, then held on for the win. And the game last night, 11AA went down to the wire, but Watertown ended Pierce's run of state championships with a 14-13 victory. Pierce scored with 48 seconds remaining, but missed on a two-point conversion, then couldn't convert the onside kick, and that allowed the Arrows for the win. Watertown had scored the go-ahead touchdown on a Statue of Liberty play with just under 4 minutes remaining. And as I said, that snapped Pierce's championship streak at 8 in a row in 11AA. That means two high school football games are left in South Dakota. Today at, I believe, 12 noon kickoff, the 11A championship, number 3 seed Lennox, 9-2, is matched up with top seed Sioux Falls Christian, 11-0. And then the final game of the season, 5 o'clock tonight, 11AAA, number 2 Sioux Falls Lincoln, 10-1, against top seeded Brandon Valley, 11-0. Have a couple of college basketball scores to report from yesterday. Women's score, Sioux Falls defeated South Dakota School of Mines 78-47 and Northern top Black Hill State 72-60. That was all part of the Division II showcase being held out in Rapid City, East-West showcase. One men's score, Northwest Nazarene, Missouri edged Northern State 68-66. And that's the rundown of our scores from yesterday. Just other notes to pass along. The brackets are set for all three state volleyball tournaments to be played next Thursday through Saturday at the Denny and Sioux Falls in AA. Harrisburg, the top seed, will open the tournament against number 9 Aberdeen. Number 4 O'Gorman plays number 5 Watertown. 2-seed Sioux Falls Jefferson plays number 7 Brandon Valley. And 3-seed Sioux Falls Washington is matched up with number 6 seed Roosevelt. In Class A, Miller has the top seed, and they draw the 8 seed Sioux Falls Christian. Sioux Falls Christian, I believe, has won 8 state titles in a row. Number 4 seed Dakota Valley plays number 5 Mount Vernon Plankinton. 2 seed Hamlin, number 7 Sioux Valley, and number 3 seed Del Rapids, number 6 Winner, round out the first round matchups. Class B, Chester with the top seed, plays number 8 seed Castlewood, number 4 Kadoka, number 5 Burke, 2 seed Warner plays number 7 seed Coleman Egan, and Hitchcock Tulare with the 3 seed will close out the first night with a matchup with number 6 seed Gayville Vollen. Staying on the subject of volleyball, Huron Area Volleyball Club will hold tryouts for the upcoming Junior Olympic season a week from tomorrow at the Huron High School gym. Ages 15 to 18 have tryouts at 1:30, ages 12 to 14 at 3 o'clock. There will be a parents' meeting at 4 o'clock. Then ages 10 and 11 try out 5:15 till 6 o'clock. Local players must pre-register before tryouts. A $10 fee is due at time of the tryouts. Email any questions to HuronVBallClub@outlook.com. Coming up this morning on Dakota Sports Saturday, we'll talk state volleyball as we visit with Miller coach Linda DeBoer and Hitchcock Tulare coach Jordan Opp. We'll also hear from Huron Tiger Activities Director Scott DeBoer about his first few months on the job and some of the preparations that are being made as updates are planned to replace scoreboards at both the Huron Arena and Tiger Stadium. Those are our interviews, and they'll be coming up at about 7 minutes after 8 o'clock this morning. With the Saturday Morning Scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
We're back on Dakota Sports Saturday talking Hitchcock Tulare volleyball with their head coach Jordan Opp. The Blue Jays are in the State B volleyball tournament after a Sodak 16 win this past Tuesday over Harriet Selby. And they'll go into the state tournament with a record of 31-2. And coach, just first off, kind of the overall deal, I would imagine this march to the state tournament this year probably started 1 year ago in the Sodak 16. You fell to Fulton one step away, and it sounds like this team just kind of said, okay, now this is where we need to, what we need to do to get where we want to be. And, well, I think you are where you want to be now.
Yeah, you know, we fell last year, ironically, it was at Northwestern, just in a different gym. And we felt pretty bad because we were one game off, and we felt like we had a really good team last year. And we beat Fulton, you know, earlier in the season, and then came around, we lost to them. And then so after the game, the players took it upon themselves and said, okay, we're not going to have this happen. We don't want the same thing to happen to us again. So they went to a lot of camps and played some spring volleyball and worked really hard in the off season, and it shows. I mean, when you can compile a record of 31-2, I think we're doing something right, and they worked hard to get to this point.
And really, this bunch of, just talking over the last couple of years, this bunch has been together. These girls have played together a long time and really come up together.
Right. You know, we have Caitlin Trader, the senior. She was with us when we went on our last state tournament. That was in 2020. She's the only player that has any experience at the state tournament. But like you said, Ella Johnson's been starting. She's been around since her freshman, sophomore year starting. Varsity, Isabel Gilbert was another one we started, I believe, as a sophomore. Rebecca Heising has started as, a freshman or sophomore. And so they have, you know, 2, 3, some 4 years of experience at the varsity level. And that's showing now, you know, especially in these big games.
You know, and talking about the postseason, I go back to the regions a week ago. You knew it was going to take some work just to get out of the region. That's what happens when you have three of the top five seeded teams in the state all in the same region with you, Warner, and Northwestern.
Right. We knew going in into the season, I was preaching to the girls all year long. Number one, we need to get as many power points as we can possible. We were hoping for the number one seed just to get on the opposite of the bracket, and we were a little bit off of Warner on that part, but then that set up the Northwestern match, and we were talking about for probably a week on what to do and how to attack their defense and how to slow down their offense. And we played about as good a volleyball Thursday night as we could in Tulare, and that it showed. And it's just a shame that somebody has to lose out of that region, because Northwestern is more than deserving to be at least in a SODAC 16, let alone in a state tournament.
You know, and really, it was a bit of a slow start the way it looked. I think they won that first set 25-15 for your girls. Kind of took control, although, Northwestern pushed you all the way the rest of the way through as you won it in four.
Right. We came out, like you said, we got beat around pretty good 25-15, and I'm kind of thinking in the back of my mind as a coach, what's going on here? This ain't the same team I've seen us play, and, we didn't play very well the first set, and then finally, we could have easily rolled over and let them have it, but we came back and we played some pretty good volleyball down the stretch and sets 2, 3, and 4. And I think even sets 3, we were down, I think, 9, maybe almost 9 points at one point. We came back and won that set. And, that goes to show you the type of team we have, that they're going to kind of prevail through those tough times on the court like that.
Of course, that brought you up to the SODAC match on Tuesday against Harriet Selby. At the 3 seed, they were 14, so you were a pretty heavy favorite in that. And you said, really, you didn't feel like you were always at your sharpest there. But, again, the girls just took care of business when the plays were needed.
We played fairly well. We're comparing against Northwestern. We went 88 of 88 serving. Didn't miss a serve all night. And then we went up to, against Harriet Selby on Tuesday night, and we ended up missing, I think, 11 or 12 serves of the match. We missed 5 or 6 in the first set. I'm like, this isn't good, We obviously have to play better down in Sioux Falls. We can't miss that many serves. And then even our passing was a little bit off. But our girls, once again, they found a way to win. They battled through some stuff and were in the spot that we wanted to be in when the season began.
Now, I know kind of an interesting week here, where Tuesday you win the berth in the state tournament. Wednesday you have two players, Caitlin Schrader, Ella Johnson, signed their letters of intent to move on and play college volleyball. And, you as a coach, this has to make you feel good. We've developed players that the next level was looking to bring in.
That feels very good. It shows that we're doing something right here. And it's also credit to those two players for the time they put in and all the camps and all the work they put in to get to that level to play. Caitlin signed with NSU to go play for the Wolves next year, and Elle signed with Mount Marty to go play for the Lancers next year. So it was a pretty exciting morning around here. It's the state tournament berth, and then having them sign.
Now, here's one. I don't know if you can really answer this very well, because we're still preparing for the state tournament, but you mentioned you last made it in 2020. Caitlin Schrader was an eighth grader that year. That, of course, was the COVID year, and we were just playing under a whole different set of circumstances then, with a lot of kids competing wearing face masks. You're wearing a face mask on the bench, I assume, and it just was a different atmosphere, I think. I would imagine now this is a little bit more like a true state tournament experience.
Right. Like you said, back in 2020, we had masks. There was limited, attendance. And all, obviously, all the classes were at different sites. Well, the Class B was in Huron by itself. This is going to be a whole different atmosphere when all three classes are at the Denny Sanford. You get, obviously large crowds, a lot of cheering, a lot of noise, a lot of different times. Whistles are going off at different times for the officials. So I think it's going to be maybe an eye-opening experience for this group, for all of them, honestly. But I think they're ready. I think they're looking forward to it. We keep telling them that this is what it's going to be like, just to maybe calm their nerves a little bit. But once we get down there and get practicing a little bit, maybe after the first couple of whistles, I think we'll settle in.
Again, we're talking to Jordan Opp, head volleyball coach, Hitchcock Tulare, as the Patriots are headed to the Class B tournament. They will be the number 3 seed in the state tournament next Thursday in Sioux Falls. They will play the final match of the first round and draw 6 seed Gayville Volland. Gayville Volland, I believe their record is 29-4. And boy, do they have a match Tuesday with Woolsey Wessington, obviously a team you're familiar with, but it goes five sets. Only one of the five sets was not decided by extra points, including a 21-19 fifth set that Gabriel Vollen got. So I know you're still familiarizing yourself, but you know obviously that Woolsey Wessington was a state tournament-tested team the last 2 years, so Gabriel Vollen definitely brings a lot to the table.
Right. We're going to have to be ready to play. We go, you know, like we told our players, when we go down there, we're going to be tested. There's eight good teams, and that's, you know, that's why they're down there. They're all good teams. You know, we're trying to get some info and film down on Gabriel Vollen here. I think they're a little bit scrappier on defense, and they have a couple great hitters, so we're going to have to see if we can match up with them well, you know. And they beat Northwestern earlier in the year in a tournament, as I see on their schedule, so it should be a good match. I think we'll match up well. And like I said to our girls, we just got to go down and play our type of ball game.
That'll just wrap it up with this, kind of what we said right at the beginning. This team has been on a focus. They've been looking forward to this for the last year. It was nice to see the girls decided we're going to set goals, we're going to attain them, and right now they have attained every goal, going back to a conference tournament, conference championship, getting out of the region, now making it to the state. But obviously there's still a little more work to do, three matches left.
Right. We told them after we got done with Harriet Selby that we're not just content to go down to, you know, we made the state tournament. We're not going to be content just to go down there just to say we made it. And we're going to go down there. We want to make some noise as a three seed. We want to win that first game against Gabriel Vollen. You know, that's our focus right now. But in the back of our minds is if things fall the right way, we could see a potential Warner matchup again. And we kind of want to see Warner again. They got us in five up on their home court earlier in October. Gave us our first loss, and we kind of like to see that matchup on semifinal night of the state volleyball tournament and see what we could do with them again. And I like our chances there, but again, we have to first focus on Gabriel Vollen and take care of business on Thursday night.
Jordan Opp, head coach of the Hitchcock Tulare Patriots. The Patriots are in the State B volleyball tournament. They're the number three seed at 31-2. They'll be matched up with number six seed Gabriel Vollen, 29-4. Final match of the day next Thursday in Sioux Falls. We're going to talk more state volleyball. Linda DeBoer, head coach of the Miller Rustlers, is next on Dakota Sports.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
We're back on Dakota Sports Saturday. More volleyball talk as the Miller Rustlers are back in the Class A tournament. They do have the top seed in the tournament this year. I believe the record comes in at 30-1. So we talked to head coach Linda DeBoer. Coach, you know, sometimes I talk to a team when they make a state tournament, you know, we've been kind of pointing to this year, or something happened last year that just drove us to get there this year. But for Miller, it's just become kind of a common occurrence. You just find ways. You rotate girls out, other girls step in, and just almost, I'm sure you don't think it's seamless, but it sure looks like it's seamless.
Yeah, it's been a good run. Our kids are so dedicated to volleyball here and love the sport, love the game, and love to play. And so, it's actually brought us a lot of success. This is our, I think, third time going three in a row. So we've been there the last 3 years, and every year we go, it just keeps fueling the fire for the next group because they want that same expectation and they want that same experience and they want to go and do better than the team before them. So it's been a really good run.
Well, on Tuesday in the SODAC 16, you got the matchup with with Lakota Tech, and as far as that goes, I imagine that was, Lakota Tech was a mainly an unfamiliar opponent for you.
Yeah, they were. We don't play a lot of West River teams, even though we sit right here in the middle of the state. But they're a newer school and a newer program, and so we don't have them on our regular scheduled season matchups, and then we don't have them in either of our conferences, so that was a new matchup for us.
And it just looks like your girls took care of business. I know you said they did give you a few concerns just because they're young, they're scrappy, and you feel that's a program. You mentioned it is a fairly new school, and it looks like it's a program that's just growing.
Yeah, they had a lot of seniors on their roster, but played a lot of the younger girls, and I think there's a lot of potential there. A couple players really surprised us with how well they moved to the ball and jump served and hit the ball and blocked. And so I look for them to be pretty competitive the next few years.
Well, tell us about this Miller Rustler team, and I know I see a lot of names here on the roster I recognize, and sure, still trying to work a few other girls in, and anybody who was inexperienced, you know, it's November, everybody's got experience now.
Yeah, our kids have just continued to grow and take on new roles all year, and you will recognize some names, like our libero, Jolie Palmer. She's back for a third year and has like 1,700 digs in her career. You'll probably recognize Aaliyah Schlechter, who's back. She's a four-year varsity letter winner. She's now a senior and has moved to the right side for us and has just done a phenomenal job. The name Wordle is very highly recognized in the Miller area, and we have both Grayson and Paige back this year. Kate Lichty, Kaylin Anderberg. So a lot of familiar names on our roster. Our setter would be new, though. Heather Riesel graduated, and our setter is senior Olivia Riesel, and she just got her 1,000th assist the other night during the SODAC 16 match. So some familiar names and familiar faces, but we had to reload after last year losing 5 seniors, and so we reloaded, and here we sit.
And as far as reloading, did you have to change anything? You know, high school coach, no matter what the sport, sometimes you just got to say, well, this is going to be our strategy this year because this is what we have.
Right. I think it's always smart to look at the personnel that you have and then base your goals off of what they're capable of doing. And we did move a couple players around a little bit. Like I said, Aaliyah played middle, and now she's on the right side. We tampered with moving Jolie to a left-back libero, but left her in the middle because she's just so quick and gets down the line so well for us. And so, you know, I don't think we changed too awful much, and we just tried to fit our athletes to the positions that would lead us to some success.
You know, and as far as the schedule goes here, I think I said 30-1. I see here 28-1 is the actual record here. And you know, you try to branch out. You know, there's some. You know, as far as tournaments go, you know, you can only go to so many. You try to get into some. I know you went. You know, this goes back a few years, but you went over, I believe, to Wisconsin or Minnesota and played in one. But bottom line is, you build up that schedule, so you know, you're ready for this time of year.
Yeah, I like our schedule a lot. You know, being where we're located in the middle of the state, we play pretty competitive schedule with our schedule being about half B schools and half A schools. And so we get to see a lot of different teams around the state and play some very good competition, which helps us in postseason to not only have the experience, but then to have the seed points too.
Now we look at the state tournament. You'll be the top seed, and so you'll play the first match of the day next Thursday, and Well, just sitting there is the juggernaut, Sioux Falls Christian. I believe it's 8 titles in a row for them. I suppose they look at it as a down year. They're 25-12. 7 of the 12 losses came to out-of-state teams, and I don't think you have to look too far for a scouting report because, you know, they're just there year after year.
Yeah, we've met Sioux Falls Christian at the state tournament. That's the only time we see them, if we do see them. I guess we did play them about 4 years ago for a SODAC match, but that is the only time we get to see them. And, of course, pretty familiar with them and their athletes and their coach, because she's coached not quite as long as I have, but for many years. So I'm very familiar with their program and the success that they've had. And so, not the matchup that we wanted, but we're ready. We chose the slogan, respect all and fear none, for our season motto. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to go in and play the best that we can.
I know you're still in the formative stages of getting your scouting report in, but obviously you feel there's some things you can do against Sioux Falls Christian, and probably more importantly, there's things that you hope to take away from them.
Yeah, exactly. You know, first and foremost, we worry about our side of the net and what we can do to better our first ball contact, whether that be the serve, the pass, the dig, or the block. But, yeah, there are some things that we're going to try to defend better, that we can see in some of our scouting reports and tape, and hopefully give them a good competition and force them to make more errors than we do.
You know, and when you look at it too, you know, there's just such good talent there. You know, Del Rapids sits with 3 losses on the season. They come in with the 3 seed. Hamlin, 1 loss. They are the 2 seed. Dakota Valley, they're kind of like Sioux Falls Christian. Seems like they're there every year. There's just great competition this year.
Yeah, early in the season, I heard that Class A was really going to be open. A lot of people were talking about how it's just an open season for Class A and so many good teams. And I think we've seen that week after week all season long, that there's been a new number one or somebody took up somebody at a tournament. And it's just been a crazy fun year watching the volleyball get better and better and all of these teams be successful.
And just wrap it up with this. We kind of touched on it at the beginning, but Miller, you know, you just got tradition there. You know, Sioux Falls Christian been there a lot of times, so has the Miller Wrestlers. You know, the event's not too big for the girls, you know, when you have this combined tournament, which is what we've been doing mainly here the last 10, 15 years. There's a lot of whistles. There's cheering sometimes where for your particular match, it may not match with what is actually happening, but your girls know how to tune that out, I'm sure, and just focus on what's on their side of the net and across from the net.
I think that's where our experience the last couple of years will come in, that the girls that have been there, we have about half of our team that were with us last year when we took 4th place, and the other ones are new. So I always like that first practice where we get into the Premier Center and get oriented to the lights and the sound and the floor and everything and how massive it seems for having no low ceiling and everything. And so that's a good time to get a lot of the jitters out and just get a good feel for the facility. And then, yeah, Thursday when the noise ramps up, I think that'll just fuel our girls to want to perform at their best.
Linda DeBoer, she's head coach of the Miller Wrestlers back in the State A volleyball tournament, and they are matched up with the Sioux Falls Christian, first match of the day next Thursday in Sioux Falls. We'll be back on Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Your headquarters for sports is Dakota Sports on KOKK.
We're back on Dakota Sports Saturday, and we're visiting with Huron High Activities Director Scott DeBoer. Scott took over the job from Terry Roeder back on July 1st, so in his fifth month on the job right now. And I guess, for lack of a better words, Scott, so far so good. Doesn't sound like, as you get into the job, not much has come up that's really surprised you.
No, and I think some of that's a credit to Coach Roeder for how well laid out he had things and how well organized he had things. A lot of it's a credit to the people that work within the Huron School District to kind of keep things rolling. And and you kind of mentioned it off the air, but I've had enough experience around the ESD coaching. I've got really good mentors that I can call. So felt like coming into the job, I had a pretty good background and expectation of what it looked like and what it would mean. And for the most part, a lot of that stuff has kind of played out the way I expected. Certainly there's things that are maybe a little bit more intense or less intense than you anticipate, but for the most part, things have kind of gone the way I've expected.
You know, and probably the biggest things you did here as far as a big event this fall was the two big cross-country meets that we hosted, the Huron Invitational and then the ESD, and actually the invite, I assume, was a bigger meet than the ESD was. But just hosting a cross-country meet of the magnitude of those two, it takes a lot of people, and you're covering a lot of ground out there on Broadland.
Yeah, and we are really lucky to have a partnership with Ben Drott and Broadland out there, and you run those two events this year knowing that the state meet next year is kind of looming in front of us, and so trying to make sure that you kind of have a feel for how things are going to go and things that you want to iron out when the meet is as big as it gets. And then with the ESD, it's not as many teams maybe as our invite, but every team makes a big deal of it, as we know here in Huron, that ESD means a lot to the kids and the schools that are a part of it. And so you try to make sure that you're dotting all your I's and crossing your T's for that one too. But like I said, it was good for us to be able to run both of those meets this year, knowing that the state meet was coming next year, and trying to figure out what things we have to plan for, what changes have happened in the last couple of years that we have to get ready for next year.
You know, and as I look at the fall season, probably maybe the busiest season. Really, there's three seasons, fall, winter, and spring, and you just have a lot of different sports going, certainly more than you have in the winter with cheer and dance, golf, tennis, cross country, football, volleyball. I might even have one or two slip through the cracks there, but the bottom line is that there aren't many days where there is not a home event in Huron.
Yeah, pretty much half the sports offerings that we have happen in the fall, so it's kind of a blur. That's the piece to this role that's been kind of new and exciting for me is, throughout the fall, every day you turn around, you've got kind of a different group of kids that you're preparing for and a different event and different rules and kind of a different subset of your student athlete population. So that's been fun to kind of get some exposure to a lot of different sports and different kids. But certainly, yeah, it's a whirlwind in September and October.
You know, some people may not realize this if they're just kind of casual observers, but you think, oh, yeah, you're running all the varsity events. Yeah, you are, but also middle school, sub-varsity. Like I said, there's a different given event going most days.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because, some sports like volleyball, you run all your lower-level games the same night as your varsity, so everything's kind of one big event. Sports like football, you've got to kind of separate, so you might have an eighth grade game on a Monday and then a freshman game on a Thursday and a varsity game on a Friday, and so they all kind of have their unique upsides and challenges as you prepare for them throughout the year.
Now, we're getting set here now. Basically, we just have volleyball going here, then switch over to winter. Really, the switch over to the winter sports has already started because middle school girls basketball, 7th and 8th, has started. That was a change that began last year. So the second year, it's kind of an ESD thing with 7th and 8th grade girls basketball November up through Christmas, and then
middle school boys, 7th and 8th, starting basically after the new year till the end of February. And there were a couple of reasons there. Gym space, officials was a big one, but it sounds like the returns on this new system have been pretty good.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to kind of see it play out from this perspective. I think it offers some different things in terms of opportunities for our kids. It certainly helps alleviate some of the pressure on our officials and gym space. You know, I'm coming from out in Pierre where it was allowing us to expand our schedule a little bit. That's not as much the case here in Huron, but it just kind of speaks to the variety of offerings that it helps to create with that change.
But like I said, you know, a lot of that had to do with gym space. You know, sometimes teams have to practice later in the evening. You know, we have more floors, I think, than we had when you were playing some 20, 25 years ago. But yet still we're always dealing with gym space. And, you know, and that's not a Huron thing. That's everybody.
These are going to the upper end of that age window, too, on me. But, yeah, it's amazing just even in having conversations this week with our wrestling coaches. We in Huron, we have probably a better setup for facilities than anybody in the ESD and probably about any AA school. And we're still looking like we're cramped for certain places and at certain times. So everybody is in the same boat in terms of wishing they had a little bit more gym space or opportunities that they can spread some people around. We're really fortunate in Huron that we've got the Tiger Activity Center that houses gymnastics, cheer and dance, and wrestling, and boys and girls wrestling. And then obviously we've got a number of places that we can put basketball teams too in the wintertime. But yeah, it's still with the number of upper and lower levels, and as we continue to try to keep our numbers growing, that puts a strain on those things too. But it's the right problem to have, and it's a good problem to have, and it's something that we've just got to keep trying to be creative with how we use our facilities.
You're talking with Scott DeBoer, Activities Director for the Huron Tigers. Again, I always try to do an update here this time of year with our AD, just things going on and that sort of thing. We mentioned officials, and you know, I know when I talked to you last summer, you felt you were in pretty good shape getting officials assigned, and you know, again, we're talking middle school all the way up through varsity, but we're still always on the lookout for officials, and if somebody's interested, any sport, wrestling, basketball, volleyball, football, whatever, get a hold of you, and we got a lot of mentors in town that will help a new person come along.
Well, you're right. You know, and we're set up well, like I said, in part because of Coach Roeder's organization. We're set up well because we've got really good people here in Huron that understand that to really make these things happen, they've got to give some of their time. And so we're really fortunate here in town that we've got officials that are willing to step up and cover. But I still get really excited when somebody says, hey, I'm so-and-so coming to town and interested in getting involved with athletics, because you're right, we need to kind of cycle in some new blood. And like you said, we've got people that are excited to offer that opportunity to young people or people that want to be involved in sports and come into it. We've got really good officials right around town, and they're anxious to help each other and help new people come along. So, yeah, we're lucky here in Huron, but it's certainly something that we want to stay ahead of and not be trying to chase down a shortage.
Well, lastly here now, and I saved it for last, and that's the scoreboard project. Probably this is the biggest project you inherited taking over in July. Need to replace the scoreboard system at the arena and also at Tiger Stadium. And, you know, you go to the arena, in fact, you just think, you know what, that's still, you know, it seems like a top of the line. But when you look at it, it was installed in 2005. You were still in high school at the time. It's 20 years old. And I know when you talked to the Board of Education about the project, you said, really, that was a system that had a life of probably 10 to 15 years, so we're probably 5 to 6 years over, and you know, it's just time.
Yeah, it's I think it represents an exciting opportunity for the district, you know, modernizing some of those things, and it'll give us the capability, the things that we're going to put into place there will give us the capability at the arena to host a lot of different events. It'll be a unique environment for sports, certainly, but I think it'll give us some versatility to draw some different things or to really change the experience of some of the things that already happen at the arena.
You know, because we do some things there at the arena and not everybody else does, and in particular when we do the light show for lineups, we do it You know, we've done it, I think we did it once or twice here for volleyball, you know, and it's a good, you know, we got the B girls tournament coming in again this year. So, you know, we have a chance to showcase, you know, that was very well received when we started that. But now, too, we add in the scoreboard system. You know, we hope to put on a good show. The arena system, we do hope to have in by the time we host that B tournament second week of March.
Yeah, that was a little bit of the urgency behind the getting the project going this fall is being able to have it implemented and being able to play around with it a little bit before that State B tournament. We'll certainly probably still have some things to iron out and ways that we can maximize it in the coming years that maybe we won't have quite a system for during the State B tournament, but I think we'll be able to make a pretty cool experience for those kids coming into town. And that was, I think, part of our selling point as the committee came together. Is how do we continue to ensure a partnership between the district and the community? Because I think there is a responsibility on the part of the school district to bring in some of these events, you know, state meet cross country, like we talked about, the State B basketball tournament. All of those generate opportunities for local businesses, but they also are a chance for us to market some of the cool things about Huron and about our school district as well.
And I mentioned that you are going to replace the football stadium. That's the one that really sticks out a little more that has probably needed a little help. You weren't here last year, but the last two home games we had last year, the scoreboard was not operating. And then when we got things turned on this year, ready to go, the scoreboard part worked, but the video part didn't. And, you know, so, it, you know, again, we're probably past the end of the life of that one, too. So it just seemed natural we needed to replace that one as well.
Yeah, I think people maybe look past or underestimate that those scoreboards that were put in 20 years ago were a revenue-generating opportunity with some sponsorships and things like that. The signage that you see in the arena, these scoreboards represent another level of that revenue opportunities as far as exposure to local businesses, but also some advertising money that comes in and kind of supplements what the initial cost of those scoreboards end up being.
And bottom line here, just wrap it up with this, you're in your fifth month now on the job, but the job never ends. For there's always something coming across the desk, small things, big things, in between things.
Yeah, it's been that's been part of the fun of it, though, is it's something new. It's a learning experience every day, and like I said, it's a chance to kind of get exposed to a lot of different sports and different student athletes and in ways that maybe I haven't had a chance to do in other roles that I've had.
Scott DeBoer, Activities Director for the Huron School District, reflecting back on his first 4 or 5 months on the job and also other activities coming up. Again, if you'd like to be an official, and this doesn't just go for Huron, this goes statewide. They are always looking for officials, not just talking basketball here heading into the winter, but also wrestling as well. Contact your local athletic director, and they can set you in the right direction and probably give you a little work right off the bat as well. That wraps up Dakota Sports Saturday. Up next, Territorial Rodeo Update, brought to you by Premier Equipment of Huron. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.